Amen. Isn't it wonderful that we can come in and have such a joyful fellowship and laugh and smile and poke fun with each other? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we can do that because we have our joy in Christ, and we have our joy because we know life in Christ. And so that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, life in Christ. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse number 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. And I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word. John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Father, thank you so much for this day, for your blessings, for your grace, and for your mercy, for new life through your Spirit that resides within us and seals us for the day of redemption. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Be seated, please. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you can see, how many of you will see the kingdom of God? I mean, that is a joy that those who know Christ eagerly await. I mean, we have that expectation that just builds within us that we're going to see heaven and we're going to see and experience heaven with Christ there with us. And it's going to be a wonderful moment, a wonderful time. No more sin, no more worry, no more pain, no more, ugh, why did this have to happen? And why did that have to happen? All of the old is going to be gone. And all of the new in Christ is going to be there. And it's going to be filled with such joy. We look forward to that, to being in His kingdom for eternity. And that's why we are here today, most of us, celebrating God's goodness to us. Some of us truly know the forgiveness of sins and truly have new life in Christ. But there are many throughout churches all over this world that they go to church and they go because it's habit. They go because that's what they were taught to do as a child. They go because it's comforting. But they don't yet understand there is a difference between going to church and living the church. Having that hope that is in Christ. I'm glad to see each and every one of you, and I hope it's not here just because you want to celebrate with a bunch of happy people. I hope it's because you know new life in Christ. And you know the joy and the hope that we still have. It's coming, but it's not here yet today in its fullness, but it's coming. And tomorrow will come. And that life and that day will come. The Jews were looking forward to this. Pharisees and the scribes, the great teachers of Israel, they all were looking forward to the coming Messiah of Christ and the one who was going to bring that redemption to Israel that they so longed for. which we today know wasn't just coming for Israel, but was coming for all. And we are part of that. But in their day, when Jesus was there, there was a lot of conversation and a lot of questions and a lot of this. Who is that guy? Who is he? Who is this Jesus? Nicodemus, a Pharisee. Not just a Pharisee now, and the scripture's clear, he was a ruler of the Jews. So he was an elevated position within the rank of the Pharisees. And he came to Jesus by night. Now, isn't that interesting? He came to Jesus by night. You know, mostly people are in their homes, except for those out causing trouble. You know, you can't be out after 7 o'clock unless you're just causing trouble, right? Nicodemus, he came out at night. He met Jesus in the night so he could talk with him. And he had a good conversation. We don't have the full context of the conversation. We have enough in this, though, to teach us something very important. Christ was teaching Nicodemus. He's teaching us. And we need to see what he says. Nicodemus recognized first that Jesus was not just any ordinary man. He said, "We know that you are a teacher come from God, because nobody can do the things that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now Nicodemus, let's get this in context. Nicodemus, being a teacher and a ruler of Israel, thought he had a pretty good idea and a pretty good vision of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is standing there before him. He says, "We know you are a great man from God, because nobody can do what you do if God wasn't with him." And Jesus is saying to him, "Oh, you haven't seen anything yet." If you really want to put it in today's context, you haven't seen anything. Oh, and guess what? What you think you see is just a glimpse of something you don't have any understanding of. The real kingdom of God, no one can see that unless they are born again. So Nicodemus just had something ripped out from under him. Y'all know what that's called, right? A rug. I mean, this is a man of knowledge. And he's coming to Jesus with questions and some conversation taking place. And Jesus is saying, "I understand what you think you know, but let me tell you, there's a lot more that you don't know. And because you don't know, there's a lot more that even though you think you see the kingdom, you won't really see the kingdom unless you meet this requirement, that you are born again. Unless you are born again." And I love the scripture because it says, when Nicodemus speaks, he says, "We know." There was more than just Nicodemus among that group of Pharisees that knew there was something different and special about Jesus. But not all had that idea of Christ. In fact, if you look at John chapter 9, you'll see this. Some of the Pharisees said, speaking of Jesus, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them, among the Pharisees. Imagine that, though. People being divided over who Jesus is. I'm so glad we don't ever have division in our world today over who Jesus is. It's just wonderful. I can walk down the street and talk to anybody about Jesus and they say, "Oh, I know him." And, oh, isn't it wonderful we can share the same thing and same knowledge about Christ because we all understand it the same way. Wouldn't that be wonderful? One day we'll be. We'll know him as he knows us. And we'll all have it right. But even among the Pharisees, there was division. Some saw and believed at least wondered if it was possible. Others said it's not even a possibility. Just not going to happen. And for a lot of different reasons. Some gave in to the possibility of how God can work. Some said God's not going to use that. Forgive me, bastard child who has no father. You know, that's what they considered Christ. They spoke of him with such contempt for who he was. People still speak of him with such contempt today. Rejecting the word of salvation that is brought and the hope that comes with it. Because he can't be real. But there were some even then among the Pharisees who saw the signs of God in Jesus. And Jesus was beginning to teach Nicodemus as he's teaching us, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Questions, and that's a good place to start where Nicodemus begins. Because if we have questions about how to have this new life and how to be born again in Christ, we need to seek answers. And the only way to find answers is to ask the question. But can I start with this premise? New life cannot be earned, nor can it be forged by the will of men. Not anything we can do to make it so. There is more that we need to see and understand. And Jesus begins the lesson when Nicodemus asked this question. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? How many doctors do we have in here? Let me just ask this. How many of you already know the answer to that question? That's just a no, isn't it? No, Nicodemus. No. A man can't be born again by entering the mother's womb and then being born again. That's not what Christ is teaching. It's almost as if, you know, Nicodemus is like, really? And Christ then begins to further explain with his words. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And now this is where the rubber really meets the road for us. And if I can, let me just explain this, because there's two events that happen here. Being born of water and being born of Spirit. And flesh is flesh, and spirit is spirit. And flesh is flesh should give us a glimpse of what our first natural life is. And being born of spirit ought to give us that glimpse of what our second life is, and it's spiritual. And if we're born into the flesh, we are flesh, and we are carnal. And we cannot be saved until we are born of the Spirit. Being born of the water is simply a reference that Jesus is telling us and then wraps it back around to flesh is flesh. He's saying to us that everyone who is born into this world is preceded by the breaking of the water. And then life is given. And flesh gives birth to flesh. They're born through the water, of the water. He's not talking about baptism. There is no life in this pool of water behind me. You can go into that pool of water, a dirty sinner, and if you don't have faith and have a profession and a renewing in your heart through the Spirit, I can dunk you 100 times, and you're still going to come up each time a dirty old sinner. I can hold you down for 30 minutes until you quit kicking. And bring you up and slap you a couple of times. Get that air going again and you're still a dirty old sinner. But let me clarify something while we're speaking about this. Baptism is necessary. for us to walk in all righteousness before God. Now let me explain why I say that. Because Jesus came to John in the John the Baptist and stood before him, and John said, "I'm not worthy." Jesus said, "Permit it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness." Even Jesus, a man who knew no sins, came to John, still a sinner, and said, "I must do this to fulfill the righteousness that is required in the sight of God." And so we as believers, when we come to our faith in Christ and we're torn about being baptized, baptism is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but that's not what makes you a new creation in Christ. And I'll show you why in a moment. But I will tell you it is necessary to fulfill righteousness. It is your first step in maturity. It is your first step in faith. It's not just saying, "I believe who Jesus is." It is showing the world what you truly believe. And you walk into the baptistry and you get dunked because you're saying to the world, "I'm dead to you, but I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ." Being born of the water is being born of the flesh. But being born of the Spirit is being born to new life in Christ. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Flesh is our first life. Spirit is our second life. And we can begin to put this all together. And there is so much written in Scripture about our faith and our salvation in Christ and things that we need to understand about what it really means to be saved. And too many people are hung up on so many things about baptism even. You know, if you aren't baptized, you aren't saved. Well, if you aren't baptized in the Spirit, you aren't saved. But the thief on the cross didn't come down and get baptized in the pool of water. But Christ took him home because of his faith. There are many people in this world who have died without ever having opportunity to take a step in righteousness by baptism, but have taken a step in righteousness through faith and called on Christ for forgiveness and found it. We see that's true, beginning with the thief on the cross. But listen to some of this other scripture that God has given us to build and to strengthen us. Paul writes in Corinthians, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." And so we began to ask this question, well, how can I have life? How can I be born again? Well, understand, flesh and blood ain't going to get it. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Something has to change. Something has to become different. It has to become new. And so when you look at Titus in chapter 3, you find these words: "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." You see what's happened here? It is the washing, which is the portion of regeneration and renewal that takes place by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. You see, one thing that's really amazing about us today, unlike the Old Testament times when the Holy Spirit would descend on someone, it was there to meet a need and a purpose for God, to give a word, to give a sign, and the Spirit would leave. But with us, The Spirit saves us. It indwells within us. And it seals us for the day of redemption. And he never leaves us. The scripture tells us, Jesus, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, nor will I abandon you. And we are sealed for the day of redemption. I have the seal of the Holy Spirit on my heart. When I am born a new creation in Christ through my faith in Jesus, and I make this profession of faith, and I'm calling on forgiveness of sins through Christ, and he seals me with that Holy Spirit, it is done. And no one can take that from me. No one can yank me from the hands of God. And the world can get ugly and Satan can beat on the back of my head and beat me in the chest and remind me who I was. But Jesus is still with me and he is still there helping me to understand that though I fight these battles in the flesh, the Spirit has victory over that. Because that is my second life, the Spirit. And the flesh and the blood, it's going to battle until we're there. We are not going to be perfect until we're there. The sound of the trumpet, the twinkling of the eye, we shall all be changed and meet with him there. And what a glorious, glorious day that will be. So what gives us new life in Christ? What does it mean to be born again? You find these words in Mark. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. If you believe and you call on Christ, the Spirit comes in, washes and regenerates you, your soul, a new life. You are a new creation in Christ. That is where salvation comes, through our faith in him. The renewing and the washing of our soul by the Holy Spirit. Our obedience in this life to take a step into a baptistry or into a river or to a pond, whatever it might be. And say to the world, I'm dead to this world and I'm alive in Christ. It's not the water, it's the Spirit. But I want you to see it. I want you to hear my profession, and I want to say it out loud. I love Jesus. And I believe in Jesus. Not because I've done anything special to earn anything from him, but because he loved me anyway. Because he loved me anyway. Nicodemus said, I can see you are a man of God because of the works and the signs that you do. You want to really begin to see the kingdom of God? See how much he loves you, even though you are as dirty as you are. Even though you are as unworthy as you are. Look at yourself and then look back and guess what you'll see? He still has that hand reaching out for you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. And he gave his life so that you could be saved from the condemnation and from the wrath that is coming because of sin. And he gives you a new life through him and through his Spirit. Before he left, he said, I will send my helper in my name. He's coming. And the Spirit does. It comes and it teaches us and it strengthens us. And it gives us new life and it makes us new when it washes and regenerates our soul. And it's not by anything we do. We can't forge our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. It is by grace and grace alone. And Paul said that as I close out with this verse. In Ephesians, he said, for by grace you are saved. How many of you know that? By grace you are saved through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not because of anything my daddy did or my mama did. It's not because I stepped into a baptistry. Those are works, y'all. It is my faith, my faith, my faith in Jesus that is a gift from God, even. That not of myself, which God gave me because I asked the question, well, how can I be saved? And that's where it begins. The same place with Nicodemus. He wanted to talk probably about some higher and lofty ideals, and Jesus brought him right back to where it begins. Hey, you think you see the kingdom of heaven? You ain't seen nothing yet. There is a lot more you need to see. But before you can see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born again. And you must be born through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Or else your life is not what you think it is. And I began by asking you, how many of you can see? How many of you will see the kingdom of God? Is it because you have found new life in Christ through faith, through the renewing and the regenerating of your soul, through the Holy Spirit indwelling and sealing you for that day? Then celebrate, 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 celebrate. Because how wonderful a gift you have received. But when you look at your neighbors, don't forget, God gave the same price for them, paid the same price for them. And it's not secluded for any one person. It's open to all. You want to celebrate Christ? Tell your neighbor, God loves you. Jesus gave his life so that you could have forgiveness of sins and be born again through faith in him. Call upon him and ask for new life, ask for forgiveness, and find joy and peace in him. Don't forget to share it. He didn't give it to us so we could put it in a bottle and hide it in the closet. Some of you like to hoard, I know. But this is not something that we hoard. We got to let this out. We got to let it out. We got to share. We got to sing. We got to shout. We got to poke fun with each other. We got to have fun and live and enjoy the time that God gives us here, knowing that it's his gift to us. But we ain't seen nothing yet. We don't even have an idea, really, what it's going to be. But are you ready when it comes? If you don't know Christ, and as your Lord and Savior today, I'm asking you, why don't you know him today? And if you don't, why will you walk away now when the opportunity is here to find that joy in him? The altar is open. Will you come? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you that you have loved us and that you have given so much for us to know you, for us to have life in you, and the hope and the joy that comes through that grace and mercy. Father, it's everlasting. It's with us every day. New mercies we see with each morning sun. And Lord, I pray we never forget and we never let go, because you are there to be our strength and our guide. But I pray too, Father, for those that might not know you, that they would hear, that they would see, that they would believe and receive the gift of life you so freely give. Lord, I ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?